But we got a Lou Marsh winner in the house, Jonas. We got one of the most popular Canadian athletes going, one of the best football players our country has ever produced. He's got a lot on the go, too. He's in town. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is joining us in studio. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
We're doing very well. We've been looking forward to having you in, man. It sounds like you're a busy guy.
I mean, it's just good to be here. I love Toronto.
You love Toronto?
Oh, yeah. It's good to be here. The food is incredible, so it's good to be down here.
Is that right? See, from someone in Montreal, I find...
food is good in Montreal, too. It's good everywhere. You know, I'm 320 pounds. So
right.
Food is good everywhere.
Yeah, see, I think one of the biggest battles in the country, bagels in Montreal compared to bagels in Toronto. Like Montreal
bagels win.
I think so too.
We don't really have like a distinct bagel in Toronto, do we?
I think we're going to say bagel in New York, but
yeah,
right.
Bagels in New York. You're right, but there are a lot of great bagel spots in Toronto.
I guess a lot of them are like Montreal
bagels. I guess we're kind of ripping off Montreal from that standpoint. There's poutine, obviously, in the province of Quebec. Like, I don't know, man. It's interesting you say Toronto. Like, great restaurants, for sure.
Great restaurant, great Caribbean food.
Yes.
Korean food.
Yes. A lot of multicultural type of dishes
that's
here.
That's what I like. You know, I like to travel. I like to taste different things.
Right.
So.
Well, you were in New York this year. I mean, you're Kansas City, known for the barbecue.
Yeah, Kansas City is known for the barbecue, but I was not in New York. I was actually in Morristown, New Jersey, which is an hour and a half away from New York. But it was good. It was good. I'm glad I went back this
year. It's that far out? Like, the stadium is that far out of, like, Manhattan? It's an hour and a half?
It's like 30 minutes outside of Manhattan, but the actual training facility is, like, an hour away.
That's wild. Yeah, because, I mean, what's, like, the Jets and the Giants, like, you both share it. We'll fight for New York. It's the biggest market you could possibly have. Yet it sounds as if you guys are really kind of detached from New York.
We are. And honestly, I'm sure it's the biggest market, but, like, when you look at it, it's really different than Kansas City. Like, Kansas City, everybody, like, breeds Chiefs, but when you look at New York, it's like if you're winning, guys are going to show up to the game. But if you're not, it's hard. Like it's like you're one out of like 11 venue that people can go to.
Right, with the Yankees and the Knicks
and even the Devils. You know?
Right, well, especially in Jersey, absolutely, and they're playing well now. Do you buy into this theory that if Aaron Rodgers ends up there, he's going to have some issue with New York and the media, and it's like, there's this belief that, like, because Green Bay, you've played in Green Bay, it's probably closer to Kansas City than New York. Like, it's a small market, and everything's Packers, 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 where there's a theory that maybe, you know, because of his nature and the way he can get a little bit snarly with the media, that New York might eat him up. Do you buy into that theory?
I think he has too much experience and too much under his belt to be eating up by the media, but... I think it's going to be interesting. Like, it's for sure going to be different than like Zach Wilson, you know, in terms of like media presence. But I think it's something that could be interesting in terms of like bringing some veteran presence at the quarterback position and see what happens, you know, because we have a good team. We had a good team last year.
Right.
When you look at the, you know, the number one rookie of the year with Sauce Gardner, and then you look at like Garrett Wilson, we got tons of talent, and it's just a matter of like bringing people together and finding a way to win.
Right, because that kept coming up. Like, top five defense, you had the offensive line, you guys, before Breece went down, you guys had the run game.
Yep.
Like, it... Like, how frustrating.
I thought you were going to say before you showed up.
Yeah, right. Because you got there. No, you got there and you factored in big time, right? You factored in
hopefully,
big time.
Hopefully. I love the run game. I love running the ball.
Right. Yeah. So we have Laurent Duvernay-Tardif in studio. So what... Take us through, like, how you approach football now, because... You know, you've got a book coming out. A big part of your life over the last few years has been the medical field. When you won the Lou Marsh, a big part of that was, look what this guy's doing with his, you know, personal life, professional life, giving back to the community, putting a pause in your NFL career.
Yep.
So how are you balancing, you know, your personal life, your medical career, and the passion that you have for that, and also continuing to play football at the highest level?
Yeah, and the passion for football, because football is, of course, a passion as well. I think for me, it's like... After the Super Bowl, there was that thing called a pandemic, right? So and I decided to go back and help on the long-term care facility, and I promised myself I was going to go back and try to play again, and I did. I showed up in Kansas City. I broke my hand, and at some point it was like, I think the team kind of moved on, and I love Kansas City to death. I love Coach Reed, but it was just a better fit for me to try to go somewhere else. So I ended up in New York, and I started like 8 out of the 9 weeks that I was there, and. After that, I got to offer some jobs, but for me, it was time to like prioritize medicine a little more. Like, I've been in the NFL for 9 years. So I started residency last July, And then next thing you know, the phone started ringing in October, and I knew the Jets' offense. So I was like, yeah, I'll go back for one last ride with the Jets and see what happened after that. So I think I put myself in a position to be like kind of a good backup if somebody need me at some point. But I'm not really pursuing free agency at this point. I think it's time for me to just focus on medicine.
Okay. So, but that could be a part of your future? Like, let's say in October, the Jets call up.
It's hard to say no, right? If I'm in good football shape, I'm for sure going to consider it. For me, at this point, it's more a question of, like, which team can bring me as close as possible to winning a Super Bowl again.
Right.
And it's not a question of money. It's just a question of winning. Because winning is it's the greatest feeling in the world. Like, to be, you know, on a field with 80,000 people and just yelling as loud as you can, and you can't even hear yourself yell. It's unbelievable.
Did the pandemic allow you to appreciate that more? Like, you know, being isolated, being at home, like.
Yeah, and for me, like, the last public event that I had before the pandemic was the parade in Kansas City.
Wow.
You know, a million plus people in the street. And then you go from that to quarantine, you know, at home with a curfew at 8 o'clock. I know it was brutal for everyone, you know, it was tough, but I feel like something was taking away from me to some extent, because you don't get a chance to experience, like, all the celebration around winning the Super Bowl.
Of course. Yeah. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif is in studio. So your memoir has been published by HarperCollins Canada. It's entitled Red Zone, From the Offensive Line to the Front Lines of the Pandemic.
Yep.
You know, your story was very well publicized. Again, like, we had you on, I remember we had you on a couple of times when you're in Montreal. But what might people learn about this journey and, you know, football, medicine, that maybe we don't know about? What will we find in the book?
You know what, I started thinking about writing this book while I was working in long-term care facility, because I was seeing so many things that I was like, it's not the time to talk about. And all we were portraying in the media was the negative stuff, but I felt like there was so much positive stuff going on inside the buildings, you know? And that's when I started writing some stuff down, and all those people that kind of, like, for me, were like the symbol of, like, leadership, of teamwork, and I wanted to, like, highlight those people as well. So I talk a lot about that. I talk a lot about synergy and differences between football and medicine and the transition from one another. And how, you know, teamwork and leadership are there in both spheres, but in different ways. So I think it's more kind of a reflection on, yes, winning the Super Bowl, yes, the contract, the signing, the draft and everything, but it's more on what does it take to be a great team player, whether it's in medicine or football.
Yeah, and in terms of, you know, you talk about what was being reported on. Like, a lot of it was our health care system, and will it stay intact? And is there, you know, when are the vaccines coming? Like, it was a wild time. But are you saying, like, what kind of caught your eye was the amount of people that gave their time, the amount of people that were committed to civic duty? Like, that must have been very motivating for you.
It was, and I was not alone. Like, I was part of a movement. Like, thousands of people went back in long-term care facility, retired nurses, doctors, teachers, and they went back to help. And that's beautiful. Like, and we got to celebrate that to some extent. And I feel like, yes, we were talking about the frontline worker, but it was like a general term. Like, and for me, it was important to also highlight those specific moments where people were, like, that's the definition of a hero. It's somebody who's willing to do the hard work and the sacrifices without the big spotlight on yourself. And that's why I think those people deserve a lot more credit, because they've been doing it for the past 25 years than me, who just showed up and did it for a year, you know?
Sure. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif in studio. So the importance of self-care and well-being, that's a big part of what you're talking about and what you're portraying, whether you're in Toronto or Montreal or wherever you happen to be. So I'm sure you found that it was a priority for you as a professional athlete before the pandemic, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what the average person can learn from your message, like, what are you trying to get out in terms of, you know, your experiences and the importance of self-care, well-being, etc.?
Honestly, I think for me it's a little bit paradoxical, but health and well-being is not only just about performance. And sometimes we portray it as like, oh, the professional athlete is healthy. Like, we're not that healthy, you know? We put so much stress on our bodies, right? So it's more a question of balance. It's more a question of, like, being in a good state of mind, and we learned so much about mental health as we were going through a pandemic. And it's like, there's a ton of different ways to like maintain and cultivate that healthiness in general, you know, and physical activity is a part of it. Nutrition is another part of it. And that's why we do so many programs with kids in my community, with my foundation. It's to try to educate people that it's not only about excellence. It's also about just being part of a movement.
Right. Like, I've always wondered that with offensive linemen. Like, how many calories are you guys taking down, like, daily? Like, in terms of just, like, what you're eating every day during the season?
I got that number. I'm not sure if it's accurate, but it was around, like, 6,500 calories a day or something like that.
So what would you eat before a game?
Everything. No, but, like, for me, it was always the same thing. Whether we were playing a night game on Thursday night or it was at a noon game in Kansas City, it was always like big bowl of pasta, get your broccolis and sauce. And
so like 8:30 in the morning, that's what you're eating?
Yeah. For me, like, performance and playing well is a big part of it is your routine and how you get ready for the game. And the way Coach Reed was doing thing in Kansas City, he would always start the routine at 5 o'clock the night before the game. And it was always the same meeting, always the same cut-up. Always watching the same film, always eating the same thing, and driving to the stadium 3 hours before the game. And by the time you show up to the stadium, you're already like...
The engine's going.
Yeah, exactly. So you're not anxious about getting there because your routine started the night before. And I thought that was genius.
Yeah, Andy Reid, man, like he is... he's something else, isn't he?
He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, he really is. Like, how much do individual players... How much access would you get to Andy Reid's time? Like, you'd go through the offensive line coach, you'd have the offensive coordinators, like the head coach of a 53-man roster. How often are you sitting there talking with Andy Reid?
A practice in Kansas City on Wednesday and Thursday was around maybe 60, 65 snaps. And Coach Reid, for every single one of those snaps, was behind the huddle, listening to the call, listening to how Patrick was, like, spitting out the words, and then being able to, like, he was able to correct a wide receiver in terms of like, oh, you should pivot that way versus X coverage or whatever. And then he would look at me and be like, hey, Frenchie, when you pull, make sure you get enough depth with your left foot or whatever. It's crazy. That guy was able to see everything. And he's a big part of why I was able to combine medicine with football, because out of all the coaches that I met before getting to the NFL, he's the only one who said, like, if you're here today to talk about football, even though you got medicine, it's because you love football, instead of, like, questioning whether I was going to be able to integrate the playbook and blah, blah, blah. So, hell of a coach, yeah.
Mahomes, like, he is something else, man. And you would have seen him at a young age, and obviously you saw him at the peak, like, when you guys won that Super Bowl. What's he like to be around? Like,
he's a cool dude. Yeah. And, when he got drafted, we had Alex Smith, and I loved Alex too. And, everybody was like, oh, is he going to be, you know, the guy? And by the time I remember after the first preseason game of his second season, we were like, oh, he's the guy, you know? And it's just an approach, you know? He was 22 years old, I think. And the way he walked up into a huddle, it's 3rd and 10. You know, your chance of converting are probably 15%.
Right.
And he's just like, we're going to get this done. And this is the play. And if they show cover two, I'm going to throw it to you, Trav. And break. And the confidence, it just inspired the whole offense and then the whole team. And he's a big part of why the Chiefs are winning, of course.
Yeah. For sure, man. He is a beast.
Is there something about him that we would be surprised to learn?
I don't know. I think he's pretty. He's more low key than you think. Like he's a superstar, a world renowned star by now. Yeah. But I feel like he was able to like stay grounded and play basketball with his old linemen in the locker room. And he's just like, he's one of those guys that you want to play for, you want to protect for. Yeah.
Yeah, and in the nature of Kansas City, like. It's funny because it's not New York, it's not LA, it's not Chicago, but as you said, it's everything in Kansas City.
Well, would it be like the Habs in Montreal? It would be the same.
Oh, it's different.
Right?
It's different because Montreal is like 2 million people and the stadium is 20,000, right?
Yeah, right.
Kansas City is like 500,000.
Yeah, and maybe you're getting 70 in there?
And you got the 76 in there and it's sold out every game and it's only 8 games. So, like, every football weekend in Kansas City, it's different.
And the tailgating and everything that goes with it.
Yeah, because of course there's no public transportation to go to the stadium.
Right.
You need 50,000 parking spots. And
Arrowhead's loud, right? Oh, too. Yeah. But it like Can you? I've always wondered that because, like, when you're on offense, it quiets down, but it can't possibly quiet down to the point where it's
pretty
like
impressive. Like,
is it like you can really tell
and,
the difference?
And when you play in London or like Mexico City, mm-hmm. where people are not used to that, it's like a constant cheering.
Right.
But when you play in Kansas City, it's like super quiet, and then it's like the loudest.
That's you got to appreciate like how smart the fans are and how much they get it.
Yeah, because they feel incredible. Like they belong and they feel like they can have an impact, which is crazy.
Absolutely, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, big beard guy.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on with the beards? Oh, what am I hearing here? Barber's Secret, Clarence Canada? What's going on here?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been working with Clarence for the past 3 years. It's a brand that I love.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you earlier, you were talking about health. And for me, like, all of my partnership are related to health in some ways. And Clarence is a big part of it, too. You know, when you talk about skincare, you know, the skin is your biggest organ in your body. So you got to take care of it. And I started working with them for the past 3 years. We launched the Clarins Men Energy line together, and now we're launching the beard line, and it's really good product.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I'm using the beard oil, but you should use the. I got the baby face going, man.
Yeah, hook me up, please.
Had a beard?
I did early COVID, man. I was rocking a great beard too.
What happened?
It got to a point where I said I'm done. Too much maintenance, I think.
It's paradoxical, right? Because you shave every day.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. Is at the time I'm like, I got to keep this thing on point. The thing is about a shave, it's just, it's a whole, you don't think, you know, you're just, everything's
you can
coming
just
off.
Buzz it and keep it like we do. Like what's.
Yeah, you guys got quality beards, man. I got to be honest. You guys have quality beards.
Join the party.
I'm envious. I might grow it back. It takes me a while though. You look like you could shave that thing and by tomorrow night you might have that back.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? With the pandemic, with the N95, I had to shave it at some point and it grew back pretty quickly.
Yeah, see, that's big, man. It might take me a few weeks. And that's the thing. You get through that grind, like there's a 2-week period.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's ugly. It's itchy.
Not good, man. It's not good. Yeah. Anyway, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, you're in town for a couple of days.
I'm leaving on Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, man. Well,
I'm
going
to try to go to the Raptors game.
But they need you tomorrow night, man. That's a big game. Indiana in town, they got to get that win.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing well. So if you get down there, enjoy that. And good luck with all the stuff, the book and, you know, everything that you're all about. We appreciate everything you're doing, and we appreciate you popping in studio. Thank you for this.
Thank you for having me.
Yep.
Thanks, man.
Great seeing you.
Yep.
There he is, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif.